Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2009. A reading from the first book of Kings. In those days, Elijah the prophet went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called out to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." She answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now, as I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son, when we have eaten, we shall die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you propose, but first make a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord God of Israel says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah said. She was able to eat for a year, and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. The word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects the strangers. Praise the Lord, my soul. The fatherless and the widow he sustains, but the way of the wicked he thwarts. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, through all generations. Alleluia. Praise the Lord, my soul. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes, who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and, as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she from her poverty has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. Welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian, and for those of you who are just listening to the readings, you probably gathered that I am flying solo today. Dawn couldn't make it with me, and neither could Father Mark, so we're doing a solo podcast this week. But that's okay. Hopefully, we'll be able to break open these readings and learn a little bit about what's going on in the Gospel and hopefully enhance our faith a little bit. You know, one of the things in the Gospel that immediately struck me was this first line about the where Jesus is talking to the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces and seats of honor in the synagogues and places of honor at banquet. Now, one of the images I know that comes to mind to a lot of people is the image of the priest who's wearing long robes and a lot of times has a seat of honor in our place of worship, and quite frequently, I'll be honest, are invited to places of honor at various festivals, at wedding banquets and things like that. A lot of times you see them sitting at the head table and you say, are these the people that Christ is telling us to beware of? Here's the difference, though. I think there is a difference in what we're doing and what was going on with the scribes and the Pharisees at times, too. The issue, I think, is brought to life in the second half of this gospel reading, where Jesus tells the story of the poor widow who put in two small coins worth a few cents. And then he praises that widow. He says, for she's contributed from her poverty, and she's contributed her whole livelihood. And that's really the difference right there, is the priest in our church is somebody who hopefully has committed his whole livelihood to the community, to the people that he serves, to the praise and glory of God and the salvation of souls and all those good things. And I think that's really an important distinction to make. The priest should be somebody who is looking to put his life at the service of the church and for the greater glory of God, and not for his own benefit. Now, do all priests live up to this at all times? Certainly not. We're all failures, and I'm speaking on behalf of my brother priests, that I think every priest would admit that there are times when they've failed to live out this ideal. But nonetheless, that is the ideal behind priesthood. So this isn't a condemnation of priesthood in general. In fact, Jesus established the priesthood, we believe. And so certainly he wouldn't establish something only to condemn it. We would, at least I'd hope not. I think that there is a real significance to our priesthood. And so I don't want to say that the priests are really doing their duty as priests by putting on a show, look at me. And certainly, too, I think at times, even more to the point, people will criticize not their priest because they tend to know their parish priest. And I think most people's experience of their parish priest is that they are people who are good men trying to serve the Lord the best that they can, while recognizing that they are all sinners at the same time. But I think a lot of times we tend to be critical of the bishops or the people in Rome, the cardinals and the pope and those types of things. I think some of that probably comes from the fact that it's a lot easier to criticize people who we don't know and than it is to criticize the people that we do know and have a strong relationship with, such as our parish priests or local priests or something. Certainly, you know, in Canandaigua, I know most people are very thankful to have Father Mull as their pastor, and they do find him to be a good guide. And I think they'd say the same thing about Father Darling and Father Dominic and all the priests that are out there. But I think it's also easy to say, oh, look at Rome, they're so out of touch with everything going on in the world, or these people, all they do is they dress up in their garb and go around and parade around, and they don't really have any concern. Well, I think we're not really giving the benefit of the doubt to the people in Rome. And certainly, I think that most of us, it's very easy to criticize somebody who's so high profile, like the Pope or something, but we forget the immense burden that he's under, that his whole life is given to the service of the church. He's not able really to have a private life like you or I. I probably have less of a private life than most people out there listening to this podcast, being a public person of the church. But certainly the Pope isn't able to go out and just be anonymous somewhere, to go out and have a day off where nobody bothers him or anything like that. It really is his entire life is serving the church, and no matter where he goes, he's always on, so to speak. He's never got a time when he can just kind of kick back and relax, and that really is a burden that he has. So I think before we get too quick to criticize him, I think that we should kind of come at it with this charity and say, look, this is somebody who's really given his whole livelihood to the service of the gospel, to the service of the church, and we should be thankful for that. So I think that this reading here is not one where Jesus is telling us, don't go around in long robes or anything, where he's condemning the actual garments that are being worn or even the honor that's being given to God. What he's saying is that the honor needs to be given to God and not to ourselves. And that's quite different. And rarely, I can say I've never heard Benedict saying, "I'm the Pope, give me honor." He's certainly said, you know, give the office of the papacy honor, but because it's founded by God. And I think he's constantly pointing us to God. And so because of that, I think he's in a different position than that of the scribes. And hopefully people see that in me in my own ministry, that they say, Father Brian isn't somebody who is trying to draw attention to himself, but rather to God. The whole point of this podcast, for example, is not to draw attention to me, but to the Word of God. That's why we always start the podcast with the Word of God, because that's really the most important thing. So often Don and I have talked and we said, you know, listen to those readings. Go back and listen to them if you just skipped to this part of the podcast, because that's the important thing. Our discussion is meant to draw you closer to those words that you just heard and to bring those words to life in your own life. But it's those words of God, the biblical readings, the gospel reading, that are really what's important. And that's what it is we need to be drawing attention to in our own lives. Same things with us as Christians in our everyday lives. We have this universal call to holiness. We say by being baptized, we're all called to be holy people. But in living out our holiness, our service should be a response to God in our lives and not a response to ourselves. People who go off and do service work in the community, whether you're at a soup kitchen, whether you're helping out at St. Vincent de Paul, or any number of wonderful activities, you could be tutoring people, any way that you're called to serve, that service should ultimately be in response to a gift God has given you. And I think there's a way we need to spend time thinking about that. It's not about me, and I'm so talented, but really reflect on how is my service, how is the ministry I'm doing being done in such a way that it's done for the glory of God and not for myself. It's done not so that I get on, or not so people say, oh, I'm such a wonderful person, I tutor this group, or I work with the poor, I do this or that, but a way in which we can say, this is about giving glory to God. And that's the reason I'm doing these works. And sometimes perhaps it might even be good for us to state that, if not to other people, to ourselves, certainly, to remember and say, as I reflect on these works that I'm doing, I have to remember it's not my own work, but it's the work of God. Of course, too, the other thing is to have some faith, too, that God is working with us who are little. We're kind of broken people, kind of like in that first reading. We come with an insufficiency. The woman didn't even have enough flour to make bread for her son and herself. And she said, if once we consume what little we have, we're going to die. And certainly that's the way we all come before God. We're insufficient. We're insignificant in a sense. And yet, God has shown over and over that he can take our human insufficiencies, and if we allow him to do so, that he can work with those insufficiencies in such a way that he can bring about not only a level that's enough, but a superabundance. See, this woman comes before God, and she has not enough for her and her son. But not only that, when she trusts in God, she's able to have enough for her son, enough for herself, but also enough to feed Elijah the prophet, too. So God can take this insufficiency and make it last for years, what should only last for a day. That's the power of God. But of course, we have to allow God the chance to work with us. And that's really the key. I think one of the ways that we need to do this in our own lives is by doing what I mentioned earlier, reflecting upon what is it that I'm doing with my life, and how is this a ministry? How is this bringing about God's kingdom? How is this being done for the greater glory of God? Because that's where it is that God can work with us, when we hand over things and say, God, I'm doing this not for my own honor, but for your honor. And when we do that, we find that God can take what's not enough and turn it into a great superabundance. My friends, I thank you for joining me this week on the podcast. I pray that you'll join us next week and in the future. And if you happen to be listening to this before Thursday morning, I'm going to be on Catholic Radio Station 1460 in the Rochester area, 1460 AM, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Thursday morning. I hope you'll tune into that as well. Have a good week. God bless.